Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you are our God and we are your people. And Lord, that you are a good Father. You're a good God. And Lord, we pray that today, Lord, that we would experience in our hearts the reality of that truth. Set our eyes and our attentions and our hearts on you, Lord. Lord, that as we do that, Lord, that we would experience your presence. We'd experience, Lord, your nearness to us. Lord, I just pray right now that there would just be a captivation that we would experience, Lord, that we'd be captivated by you, that we would be drawn to you, Lord, and that we would experience, Lord, in that drawing, Lord, peace for our souls, Lord, an assurance, Lord, a restoration, Lord, for our weary souls. Lord, I pray for anybody that's here today, Lord, and is tired and heavy laden and burdened, Lord, that they would be able to come to you. They'd be able to lay those burdens down. They'd be able to put them at your feet and let go of them, Lord, and receive, Lord, your yoke that's easy and light. Thank you, Jesus. We just wait on you this morning, Lord. Just wait on you. Thank you, Lord.
In your presence, God is full of joy. Declare your promise.
Promise still stands. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Oops, it's going back to the top. Thank you, Jesse. It is. Going to go running. Thank you, Lord.
If we don't worship him, iPad will.
Yeah. It's biblical. That's a song that Vicky sent us. And I'm sure she's going to be really excited when we do it, right?
Well, I think this is her last Sunday that she has to be in school, so we're going to have to re-sing it next week, and then we'll know it even better.
Well, yeah. Because we're just learning, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So, we're talking about the pathway to success, and this is not that we're going to talk about, you know, stocks and bonds and 401ks you know, how to succeed at business. But we're going to talk about the biblical principle of success. And I'm just going to see, can anybody, and I told Jesse, so that doesn't count, can anybody guess what verse we're going to focus on? Pathway to success.
I can.
Yeah, you can. You've got it there. That's not really fair. Anybody? No? Yeah, Jesse, don't go for it. Yeah. Okay, well, since nobody's guessed, we'll just go ahead and kind of read the a little bit of the context where it's from. I'll go and let you read, okay, babe?
Okay. Are we ready now?
We're ready, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and make a comment after this.
I do have to say one thing before we get started, and it's been rolling around in my head up there since we started singing, is that somebody here today needs to hear these words. And it's something that somebody said a long time ago here in our church, is that my very best day in the world cannot even compare to my worst day in Jesus.
Yeah.
So if today or any day this week or in the, you know, the past few days or weeks or whatever, you've had a really rough day, if you're in Jesus, your best day in the world can't even compare to how he is with you and how he loves you and cares for you and protects you. And is by your side and never leaves you and never forsakes you. And I truly believe, I don't know who needs to hear that today, but let that sink in to you, because he is, great is his faithfulness.
Great is his faithfulness.
And nothing compares. Nothing. So
his promises still stand. No
exactly.
Matter what it looks like.
Exactly. So we're going to start with Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Isn't that a great verse? So, pathway to success. This is when Joshua became not the new Moses, but he became the leader after Moses.
He took over.
It was a shift for the entire nation of Israel, because they had been basically traveling around in the same area for 40 years. I guess someone told me that it only took like about 3 or 4 days to cover the territory, maybe a week at the most, that they covered for 40 years. That must have got kind of tiring. And so what was happening here is that after Moses had passed, and if you read the first couple of verses of Joshua 1, it says that Moses, my servant, is dead, and now Joshua, you are the man. And we know that Moses' mantle went over to Joshua. We know that he was empowered with the same kind of, you know, leadership empowerment that Moses was. Joshua used to hang with Moses in the tabernacle when Moses was face to face with God. And it would say that Moses left the tabernacle, but it doesn't say Joshua left the tabernacle. So we know that Joshua was used to being in the presence of God. But even with all of that, you know, the miracles that he saw, the glory, all those things that he saw, God is reminding him in this passage what it takes to be successful. And I know sometimes we can rely on our relationship with the Lord, especially if we've known him a lot of years, and we just say, you know, I know the Lord, it's all good, and, you know, I don't need to continue to, you know, to do things to, you know, to cultivate my relationship, because we have a good relationship, and I don't, you know, I basically, you know, he loves me and I love him, and you know, it's all good. But Joshua could say that, and God still in this passage is telling him, Joshua, I want to tell you what you need to be successful, because God knew what he was going to be facing. God knew that the giants were ahead. God knew that Jericho was ahead. God knew that the people of Gibeon were ahead, that were going to, you know, deceive them. You know, there was all kinds of things ahead that Joshua needed. There was Ai that they were going to be defeated by because of a sin of somebody in the camp. So God knew that Joshua needed these things. And, you know, God knows the things that we need. And so even though this is in the Old Testament, this could be a New Testament scripture. You know, Timothy was encouraged to read the scriptures while Paul was away to the church. Read the scriptures. What scriptures were those? It was Old Testament. That was their New Testament. The Old Testament was their New Testament because of what they had. And I believe that this, when read in the time of the early church, was just as alive as when it was spoken to Joshua. Just as it can be just as alive for you here today. It does not have to be something from the Old Testament that we just read historically. We can read it and we can apply it to our lives and we can activate it so that it actually has power for us here in the year 2018. That sounds weird when I say 2018. Just makes me feel old when I say 2018. I should not say that too much. So if you look at this, you know, this, I chose this picture because, you know, there seems to be many roads out there, and you can find them all the time. You know, you can, you know, read articles, you can hear people on the internet, you can hear people on Facebook. You know, there's all this communication out there that seems to be the right way to go.
And God's telling Joshua, this is a straight path that you can walk. And we know that Jesus is the true way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. And so we know that he is that ultimate way that we walk for success. But still, these principles, even with our relationship with Christ, will help us. They will make our Christian walk easier. They will make every day lighter, I believe, because as we hold on to those promises that are never going to fail us, you know, if you don't know his promises, how can you stand on a promise that you don't know? It's pretty hard, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And the Bible is full of promises. The Bible is full of you know, this is what I will do for you as you love me. There are some if promises. If you do this, then I will do that. But if you don't know the if, then how can you know that it's going to fulfill that what he will do? And so, you know, knowing God's word is probably the biggest thing for us as Christians, other than knowing him personally. Now, I don't want it to be where you get to just know God through his word. You know about God, and you have a relationship with his word, even though that is a good thing. Ultimately, we need to have a personal relationship with him through the Holy Spirit, where he speaks to our hearts and he reminds us of things that we already have read in his word or haven't, and how we can live for him and through him and be people of God in this dark age. So this is the verse I wanted to focus on. You guys probably heard it in there. It's Joshua 1:8. Now, why I'm here is because the other morning I woke up
early,
like 4 a.m. or 3:30 or whatever it was. I'm laying in bed, and maybe it wasn't that early. It was early, though. And I'm laying in bed, and this verse comes to heart, you know. And I wasn't thinking, oh, Joshua 1:8, what can I do? There's some verses I usually meditate on, but this one came to me. And this book of the law shall not be part from. And I said, from your eyes. It's interesting. Now, I knew the verse, but to me, it was speaking to me that I didn't need to let this depart from my eyes. In other words, you know, you can quote verses that you know, and this is for people who have memorized the Bible, and you can quote them, and you can get to the place where you just can quote them from rote. But there's something about getting them also in front of your eyes that helps the meditation process. So this message is just as much to me as it is anybody else. There's something about the physical aspect of letting it go through the eye gate that does something to your heart, even though you might have it already hidden in your heart. Mm-hmm. It can activate it in a deeper way. Mm-hmm. Kind of say it like, you know, you can listen to somebody speaking audio on your headset, you know, and you get a certain amount. And then you can watch them on YouTube and listen at the same time, you know, and you get a little bit more. And you can watch them on YouTube at the same time as you're listening, and you can be writing down key points, and you're going to get a little bit more. And then you can go back and you can study those points and listen, and all of those things help solidify and strengthen knowing something. So this book of the law, we don't know what book of the law it was. It's probably the law that Moses was given. It probably could have been Leviticus, or it could have been other commandments that came in other books, Numbers. But what God is trying to say to him, don't let what I've told you, this is the key. I mean, you can say, well, it's the law, and you can get caught up in that, but don't let what I told you depart from your mouth. And I think that's interesting, depart from your mouth. And if you think about it, what's it say in the Bible? It's from the abundance of the heart that what happens?
The mouth speaks.
So God's talking about his heart here. He's saying, make sure that your heart is stayed on this. And that's why he says, you shall meditate in it day and night. As you meditate on something, as you think about something, you start talking about it. Now, I know over this past, you know, 4 months, 5 months, I've been working on a remodel of a rental. And you know what? That was kind of my focus. And guess what? When I got around people, guess what I talked about?
The rental.
I talked about what I was doing, putting a roof on, had to put some tile in, you know, because it kind of captivated me because it was so much time that I had to focus on it. And I told you, you know, before I would have gotten all bummed out and like, oh, I haven't been able, you know, and just like, woe is me. I'm horrible. But I realized the Lord is with me all the way through it, just as he's with you guys in your jobs, or if you're you know, doing something at home all day long, he's with you. You know, he never leaves us or forsakes us. So that was a good thing. But getting back to this, you shall meditate in it day and night. This word meditate can also mean soliloquy. And that's a big word, but basically what it means is to speak out loud to yourself. So if you're looking in the mirror and you're giving good self-talk, you know, like, the Lord loves you, you're a great guy, you know, instead of like, you piece of garbage, you know, it's like, you know, we all have our own little soliloquies that we can say to ourselves, but self-talk, what you're speaking to yourself. So you shall meditate in what? In the law, in the things that I've spoken to you, how I want you to live, my promises that I've made to you. And then, you know, and I could have maybe gone back and pulled some of those promises out that carried, I believe, Joshua through the difficult time of leading Israel over the Jordan River into the promised land, where the previous generation failed. They didn't go. And this was their children. And so their children had the inheritance.
Right.
And so Joshua wanted to make sure, and God wanted to make sure, that the leader was able to stay strong and courageous to take them in for that inheritance when they faced obstacles and trials. So then this happens when you keep his law, not departing from your mouth, and you meditate in day and night. You're doing this so that you can observe to do. Now, again, we don't just do for the sake of doing. We do for the sake of relationship. And I believe that was the same for Joshua here, even though it may not be the same kind of relationship, because I don't know how they got to know God, like, before Jesus. I don't know if it was more of a mental and just heart thing, but, you know, we have the Holy Spirit living in us now. But there's still something about observing, and there's still something about obedience. There's still something about when you hear something and you yield and you surrender to the right way, you surrender to what God's asking you to do, that there's a prosperity that comes to you, as it says here, and there's a success. How many know that when you're disobedient what the Lord asks you to do, it usually doesn't go very well? You know, really, and that works in our jobs. When we're disobedient to what someone asks us to do, do you get promotions? You get raises? Do you get a, hey, you did a great job there? No, when we don't do what we've been asked to do, there's usually, you know, a reprimand, you get wrote up, you know, there's things that take place. You're not successful. You're not prosperous.
Well, I want to go back to what you said about not exactly sure how their relationship was with God then, because we have the Holy Spirit now. We have Jesus, what Jesus did for us. But like he's been working on our rental, I've been working on my parents' house. And there's a lot of memories when I walk in that door. And there's a lot of heritage. And there's a lot of recollection of when I saw that, what something my mom might have said or my dad might have said. And last week we had it had been mostly me and my twin sister had packed most of the stuff up, not all of it, but most of it, and we wanted to move it to a storage unit. We want to get it ready and get it sold because it's time to move on. And some of the grandkids were over helping us move all of these boxes and furniture into a U-Haul so the U-Haul could go to the container that we had rented to be packed away until we can get it out and sort through it and have a yard sale and do all of that we're going to do. And And my husband pulled one of the grandsons aside because he was just, this needs to go to the dump. This is just a bunch of junk. Blah, blah, you know, just all of that. And as you were saying about their relationship, Joshua's relationship with God, it's almost the way that I feel when I look at a picture of not my grandma who I knew in the flesh, but my grandma's mother who I didn't, and my grandmother's mother's mother who I didn't, but that was my great grandma and my great great grandma, and there's still a relationship there. There's still love there because that's my heritage. That's what God has passed down to me. And I believe that that's how Joshua was feeling, like, you know, this has been passed down, and it's up to us to keep it going. Like, we're now the patriarchs and the matriarchs of the family, and they're the ones that's going to pass this very important word of God on, this book of the law. They're going to be the ones to do it. And so the relationship here, I believe, I've been able to just see in the last few minutes that the relationship, if heritage means anything to you, which it does to me, it means a lot. It's like, it's where my kids came from and I came from, and, you know, all, I mean, it means something. It's not just things that happened in the past. All of those things built up to make me who I am in God today. And so Joshua, I believe here, Joshua is saying, meditate on this stuff because, guys, this is your heritage. This you get to call your very own. Make it personal, even though it's hard to make personal something when love is not included. But I believe Joshua did love God.
Oh, yeah.
I believe Moses did love God. And through that love, through that heritage, they were able to that's why we can love God. That's why we can, you know, love Jesus and really have a relationship. So these things did matter, even though it may have been harder for them. I think we might have it easier because we have Holy Spirit.
We should have it easier. If we don't,
but we make
wrong.
It harder on ourselves, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So just a thought.
Here's another translation. So this is the God's Word translation. I really love the way it said it. Never stop reciting these teachings. This is something we can really apply to ourselves. These teachings, these communications that I've given you. You must think about them night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. This is the Bible in basic English. I need basic English. You guys need basic? Complicated English, not too well. Let this book of the law be ever on your lips and in your thoughts day and night, so that you may keep with care everything in it. Then a blessing will be on all your way, and you will do well. I like that. Mm-hmm. Let this book of the law, let these teachings be ever on your lips. Make sure that you're speaking them. And again, the only way you can speak them is if you know them.
Right.
If you don't know them, they're hard to speak. So, yes, probably. Well, maybe I'll wait a minute. Go ahead.
I just want to say, going back to Joshua 1:8 in the very first translation, the reason that I stumbled over one of those words is it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make," mm-hmm, not I, God, will make, but you will make your way prosperous.
Good point.
And I'm thinking, this is all about obedience. This is all about, you know, meditate on my word. Okay, God, if you say meditate on your word, then I need to meditate on your word. If you say don't forsake the assembling together to encourage one another, then, okay, I'm going to go to church. If your word says, you know, do this or do that, I'm going to do it, because then I will make my way prosperous. It doesn't say God will. It says I will because I'm obedient. I thought that very interesting. I'm like, that's not a capital U, and that's not saying me.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. Through our obedience, we enter into the success system of God. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. On all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He's going to direct our paths. Mm-hmm. You know, He's going to show us the way to go. So another verse that kind of goes, dovetails with that. Psalm 1:1-2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now this is David. So this is years later, after all of this took place with Joshua. And Joshua's truth, reality that God taught him, was in David's heart. And David is saying, listen, there's a man who's blessed if he stays away from these things. And guess what keeps him away from these things? Meditating on God's word. Now, you can look at the law and you can just say, boy, I mean, we're not under law. No, but it's his communications. The law was the way that God spoke to them. Except through the prophets, that's how he communicated his will and his desire for them. But his delight. That's not easy to do, to make something your delight. I mean, I can think of many things that delight me. Nice hot fudge sundae with peanuts. Peanut butter parfaits. I can't eat them anymore, but I delighted in those things. I would eat one and stuff, like enjoy it, you know? Nobody else likes those? Yeah. But you guys can think of what you delight in, right? Maybe some of you, it's a chocolate piece of cake that's, you know, 5 feet thick. What? Cup of coffee. And so that's easy to delight in. I can go to Starbucks and start delighting. The point being is, to have delight in God, there's got to be something that kindles that. Because yeah. I don't think you can just delight in God, I'm just going to delight in God. I mean, why do we delight in coffee, or why do we delight in a peanut butter parfait? Because it touches something that our taste buds love. So we've got to learn what our taste buds are with God. And for some, it's listening to worship music. It's a
my
never.
Cup of coffee is going to eventually be gone.
Well, they get cold and they get nasty. you're absolutely right. Our things that we delight in here that are in the natural, they're going to dwindle. Unless you got like unlimited resources and you don't mind weighing, you know, 1,000 pounds by always eating peanut butter parfaits, right? But the point being is that we do need to find out what is that we delight in God. Because it's not the same for everybody. Some people delight in God by, you know, reading a devotional. And again, it may not even be like, you know, strictly just from the Word. It's about the Word. And they relate to it and they find their joy and their happiness and they delight in it. And God speaks to their heart through it. Some enjoy driving to work in the morning. They turn on 91.1 or some other channel and they delight in those songs and they connect with God. And God's not saying, well, that's not my word. They can't do that to delight in. You know what I'm saying? We need to find what gives us a delight in God so that we can meditate on Him day and night. Because see, when we're meditating on the law, we're meditating on Him. We're meditating on His promises. So when I'm waking up sometimes in the morning, and sometimes even going to bed at night, I'll sit there and I have some verses that I just love. There's verses that I've loved my whole life, but there's some that I'm really focused on right now, and I'm meditating on them because I want to know everything there is to know about them. Now, I could quote them to you and say, well, that's easy, Pastor Mike. That's what that means. But to me, it's not that easy anymore because there's a deeper level to it. So I'll sit there and I'll just kind of quote it in my heart and I'll chew it over and I'll start from the beginning and I'll go to the middle, and then I say, Lord, okay, so what does that mean? And then the Lord will maybe put a verse on my heart, and so I'm creating an interaction with this word. It's not just sitting stagnant in me. I'm not just quoting it. I'm letting it come out of me and back and go up to Him and come back. And so it's a relationship through that. And that's what this is talking about, meditating day and night. Now, I wish I could do that all day long, but I'm a pretty focused guy. I'm very departmentalized. And so when I'm doing something else, I'm usually doing something else. Not that I'm not thankful for the Lord's presence, but I'm not just like thinking of Him 24/7. So yeah, I've definitely got heathen in me. So here's another one. Psalm 63:5-6. My soul shall... Oh, let you read it, babe. Go ahead and read this one.
My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches.
That's what it's talking about. It's talking about remembering God's goodness. Now, I know Jesse, he's up there, but he has done something for years. He's kind of taken a little bit of a break now, but for many years, he would make it so that the last thing he did before he went to bed was read the Bible. Not watch, you know, CNN or whatever, you know, for the latest news. He would make it so that God's word was the last thing that he put in himself before he went to sleep. And for the most part, he's told me through all those years, he then dreams and thinks about what he read. And so he's all through the night musing and thinking, or just sleeping restful about what he had. Or first thing in the morning, he'll remember something and it will start activating in him, and he'll ask the Lord about it. And that's the way he would find delight in the Lord. You know, some people, they listen to, you know, music before they go to bed, and that creates an atmosphere, you know. Not AC/DC. I'm talking about, you know, listening to worship music or something that has to do with God. Proverbs 4:20-22.
Me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you read them.
My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body.
Solomon here communicating another reality, a truth that I'm sure he was communicated to by David, his father, that there's a weight to what you're being told, you know. And I don't know who Solomon was talking to, which one of his kids, but he is trying to communicate as a father, or the heavenly father speaking to us, to not lose sight of what we've been told. To not lose sight of what we read and ignites in our hearts, because they need to penetrate deep. There's that word deep again. Deep unto deep. Deep into your heart. Not a shallow, well, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us have it your way. Right? I've got that. It's a little jingle. My point being is, it hasn't penetrated deep in my heart, but it's there. And some of us can quote scriptures like that, but it hasn't penetrated. Some of you can quote John 3:16 with me right now, but it still hasn't penetrated. Because you haven't even realized yet how much God loves you, how much you were the main focus of that scripture. That you were that world that God was saving. For God so loved Mike, for God so loved Gabe, for God so loved Hopi. I mean, it needs to be personal. That's when it penetrates deep into your being. Into your being is your heart. Into your innermost, deepest thoughts, where it affects your psyche. Where it affects how you view the world. Where it affects how you interact with others. That's what it needs to do. And the only way that happens, if we don't lose sight of them.
Right.
keep them before our eyes. Maybe that's why I changed that verse. Don't let it depart from your sight. I was putting those two verses together. I have a habit of doing that. But you know what? It's okay. God understands. He's not going, oh, you misquote my Bible. No, he wants us to know, do we know the reality of what he's trying to tell us? Mm-hmm. Amen? They bring health, healing to your whole body, and life. I mean, that's a lot right there. That's success and prospering. Having a healthy body and having life, to me, that's true success. Now, this is a verse I added because I believe this is an attitude that helps keep your thought process in check. That you're not letting it go down the line where you're thinking about stuff that is of no value. The psalmist in 119 says, keep my eyes from worthless things and revive me in your word. So keep my heart from dwelling on things that have no value, is what he's saying. Keep my heart from being captivated by something that is temporal and will not have any effect on my true being. So go ahead and read it.
Which one?
Psalm 19:4.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
See, that's a heart attitude that you have that if you come to the Lord, Lord, help my focus of my heart and my thoughts and my meditations be where you want them to be. I mean, I know we all think about it. Like I told you, when I was working on the rental every day, that's what I talked about. I talked about what I did that day. You know, I didn't come home from the rental and say, you know, thus saith the Lord. And very often, maybe once or twice, something. I got something while I was working. But my point being is that there are times when we can't, you know, and don't put yourself down or condemn yourself. But keep a heart attitude where you would love to have your meditation and your thoughts to be pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. And there are tons of other thoughts out there. All you have to do is turn on Facebook or turn on YouTube. I mean, all immediately you can go down a trail that, you know, you can get to where you're in the gutter with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Not that you want to, but it's impacting you. It's coming at you. So I included some scriptures from 119 where meditate is used probably the most out of Psalms. So if you want to go ahead and read a few of those.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just read through.
So we're going to do 119, 23, and 27, and 48.
Right.
Even princes sit and speak against me, but I will meditate on your decrees. 27, help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds.
So he's asking, help me to understand. Help me to gain understanding what you're really meaning. That's what I do with that one verse. It's like, Lord, you know, and I'll tell you what verse it is. So you guys are like, what's he talking about? It's Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Oh, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's when I just sit there and I muse and I go back and forth and communicate with the Lord in my heart. Like, okay, Lord, how do I come to you? And I ask him that. And what is your yoke? And how do I connect with your yoke? If it's easy and light, how do I make it, you know, so that is what I'm connected to and not connected to something else that is going to, you know, suck me dry of life. And that's what I do. And so I'm asking for meaning and understanding of, you know, some would say, well, it's not a commandment. Well, to me, it is. It's Jesus telling us, come to me. It's a commandment. Drop your heavy burdens. Drop. If you're cast down, if you're heavy, if you're bummed out, come to me. You know, and that wasn't just so that I could receive salvation. That was so that I could abide and remain in him.
Get rest for your soul.
Meditate on your wonderful deeds. Okay, go ahead. 48.
48, I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees.
I love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. 52.
I meditate, now you're going to mess me up, on your age-old regulations, O Lord, they comfort me.
Amen. In 117.
Sustain me and I will be rescued. Then I will meditate continually on your decrees.
So this in Psalm 119 is an amazing psalm. I don't know if how many of you have read it. It's a long psalm. It's based upon the principle in the Hebrew that every first letter of about 10 verses begins with the first letter of their alphabet. So you'll see in your Bible say Aleph. And then it says Bet, and then it says whatever it is, and then Gamil. So it's basically communicating in the Hebrew 22 stanzas of 10, but it's not 220 verses, so maybe it's not. Maybe it's 8 verses. But the point being is it's an amazing psalm. It's a long chapter. Yeah, it's one of those, if you want to memorize a chapter and you really want to, you know, impress people, memorize 119, because you've memorized a bunch. I think it's 172 verses. Point being is there's communications in there about knowing God and meditating and pleasing and doing the things that align their being and their life to a place that is where God wants them to be. Psalm 145:5. I'll go and read it. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Okay, so you don't know the word. Find something that just communicates to you the glory of God. Maybe it's you just need to go outside and step out at night, or you need to get like on the internet and look at some of the glorious creation of God, or you need to read about some of the miracles that God has performed in the Old Testament, New Testament, or get a book of miracles where that somebody wrote about all the miracles that have happened in our current day, you know, like cars falling on people and should have cut them in half, and you know, the wife that's standing by picks up the car and lifts it up and pulls the husband out. And, you know, she's praying in the spirit, and, you know, those kind of things that encourage you and help you realize how big God is. Mm-hmm. Meditate on those things.
How wonderful he is.
And how wonderful he is. Here's a New Testament scripture. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. This is Paul talking to Timothy, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So Paul's reminding Timothy to be encouraged by remembering and meditating on the things that were spoken over him. Probably prophetic words, probably words of exhortation, maybe his giftings that were in him that God had placed in him, how he could activate them and bring them to life. And he was to meditate on those as well. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say here that we've had many opportunities where this has actually happened here within our church. And many of you sitting here have been spoken over with prophetic words, with laying on of hands. And those giftings burn in you. Like, you know they're there. You know that God has asked you, you know, I want you to think on this, because this is a gift I've given to you that I've not given to anybody else. And it says, don't neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands. Meditate on these things. Even if you say, hey, God, whoa, so not ready for that. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Where it's not a word that's said to you and then there's no progress that's ever seen. Because God has gifted a lot of us with different things. And if people were to look at us from the outside in, would they be able to see that there's been progression? Now, isn't that something to think about? Mic drop.
I was going to say that's a mic drop right there.
You know what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. I mean, Roger's very prophetic. Phyllis is very encouraging. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I'm just saying that this scripture right here, if there was ever a scripture to meditate on and to think about and to ask God to help you with, it would be this scripture right here. Because it says that your progress may be evident to all, not just to you, but to all of us. What's your gift? Meditate on that. Thank him for it. Ask him, okay, how do I get from the point I'm at to that point you see me at? I mean, now we're getting into the real relationship part of God. That's what he wants for us. He doesn't want us to worship him from afar. He wants us to worship him with a true relationship. And I know that one of my giftings, I have more than one, but I know one of my giftings is prayer and interceding. I mean, interceding prayer, like to the point that I've been sick to my stomach interceding for people. And I haven't been meditating on that lately. I've been going to bed and having a really hard time waking up in the morning. But it used to be God could wake me up in the middle of the night, and my first words out of my spirit is, Lord, who am I praying for? Who is it that you're bringing to my heart right now? Who needs it right now?
And it may be somebody you haven't seen in years.
Years, or somebody, one of you. I mean, this scripture, 1 Timothy 4, we could have just said this and all of us gone home. This is where it's at right here, to me anyway. Because meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And not evident to all that you can be, oh boy, aren't you just a good old Joe. Not a slap on the back kind of thing. It's evident to all so that they can see God moving and growing in you. And know, hey, wait, he can move and grow in me too. If he's going to gift so-and-so with that, why wouldn't he want to do that for... Well, he does want to do that for all of us. This is powerful right here. This is life-changing right here. This scripture. If there was ever a scripture that you wrote out and stuck all over your house and your rearview mirror and your mirror in your bathroom and all of those things, this would be the one right here. 1 Timothy 4:14-15. This is powerful scripture.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I know it's going to be hard, but it's a powerful scripture for you. It's the one that's igniting you right now.
But I dare say it's not just me.
Oh, no, it's got power for everybody. But what I'm saying is that it's impacting life,
yes,
right.
Yes, it's becoming. But I know that there's some of us out here that needed to hear this scripture today. And not
and
just me.
And be encouraged with it.
And be encouraged
right.
by it, yeah.
But that brings up our 8 points. That's what I wanted to...
8 tips.
Because the thing is what she's saying is true. But... if you put a scripture up that you don't relate to, it won't do anything. I mean, it'll be a good word and you maybe will learn some truths, but you have to have these scriptures that we're going to talk about, verses that you memorize. They have to be speaking to your life.
Connection.
Just like it is to you right now.
Right.
And it'd be great if others wrote that down, but if it's not speaking to their life right now, then you're going through the motions, and we don't want to go through the motions. So my encouragement to you is find a verse to memorize that has a spark to it, like this one. Mm-hmm. This would be one, that previous one would be one for you to want to memorize, because it causes you to see beyond just those verses. Mm-hmm. You're seeing something, and that's what you're communicating to everybody, because you're seeing the true nature of that verse. And that's what we want to get to. We want to get to not just the words, and we don't want to get to just what it means. You know, if you could say, this means this, this word means this in a dictionary, and okay, I know exactly what that means. No, you want to know what it means as far as life. You want to know what it means as far as in your heart, how does that change who you are? Mm-hmm. How does that make you a better individual?
Right.
So choose a verse to memorize that speaks to something in your life right now. Number two, start with something small. You know, you could go to the verse Jesus wept, but that's like really small. There's a verse that you can memorize right now, and everybody can remember it. Jesus wept. That is a verse. But it you know, it could be something that is, you know, just a single sentence. Or it could be, you know, a large paragraph. If that's the case, start small. Learn the first few. And when I say learn, I don't say just learn so you can quote it. Learn so that it becomes part of you.
Right.
That's where you have to, you know, chew on it and constantly get it so that it anchors into your soul. And break it up into smaller parts and smaller pieces and work on it over time. Write it down, but don't just write it once. Write it many times. 5 or 10 times is a good start. And some people need to write it as many as 50 times. Just so it cements that verse in you. Say it loud. Speaking the words out loud is an excellent way to burn them into your memory. Speaking them out loud in such a way that it activates that word so that it becomes reality to you. And use the verse in your prayers when you can. Include the verses like when I'm praying, Lord, how do I have my yoke connected to you? How do I connect to your yoke? How do I put that on me? How do I make it so that these burdens that I have aren't burdens anymore? But they're used as stepping stones into your glory. That kind of stuff. Praying, how do I help this brother get rid of their yoke that's connected them to a place that's stealing and killing them, mm-hmm. and connect them to your yoke? Mm-hmm. How? Give me wisdom to speak to them. That's the way that you can pray. Put it everywhere. Write your memory verse out on index cards, sticky notes, and put them all over the place so that you'll see it many times throughout the day. Has anybody ever done this?
Mm-hmm.
Had a favorite verse, and you put it down, you write it out, and then you just put it everywhere? Mm-hmm. And did it help you memorize it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get it memorized, or did you also, like, get it in you? You don't know? There's some verses that I stayed in, chapters that I stayed in for years, and I can't quote them 100%. I just know them, mm-hmm. and I think that's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then use music to help. So if you're musically inclined or not musically inclined, sing the verse out. Sing the verse out to the Lord. Sing it to yourself so that it connects. We know that jingles, you know, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special, they have a way of connecting to us. So if you can make the verse a jingle in your heart, that's good. Then repeat, repeat, repeat. In other words, whatever strategy you follow, memorize about, do it constantly. Keep it up. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this so that we can get to this verse and we say, you know what, I'm not letting them depart from my eyes, from my mouth. I'm speaking it. I'm meditating on it day and night because I know it. And I'm observing to do what I'm hearing. And then it's making our way. We are making our way. That's such a good point. It's not God making our way. Because of us being obedient and following that, we're prosperous and we have good success.
I just want to say something about those 8 tips because I've always said this because I'm now working at a school and I've had opportunity to actually be in classrooms and stuff. And I've told kids this, and I've even told my cell group this, that the more senses, like sight, hearing, speaking, the more senses that you use for something like this, the more you're going to learn it. So by starting small, and then writing it down, you're using touch. So that's one of your senses. And then saying it out loud, you're speaking it. You're using another sense. You're speaking it out loud. You're using the verse in your prayer, so you're hearing it. And then you put it everywhere. So when you see it everywhere, you're using your sight. And then using music to help. Your music is in another part of your brain other than your intellect. So music is using another section that all of this other stuff doesn't. So the more senses that you use to make that scripture that is igniting in you come alive to you, the more you're going to learn it. The better you're going to learn it, the more it's going to become part of you. He is, to me, and I've told him this before, and it's kind of a joke in the family, he's Mr. Bible Walking, because he can say, oh, that's found in Colossians, blah, 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 blah. Well, I know what a scripture says. I just have the hard time saying what the address is. And that's the hard part for me. I know scripture. I can say it all the time, but actually know where to go. And so I go to him. Well, if he's not around, I'm stuck in a corner because I can't say, hey, babe, you know that scripture that talks about blah, 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 blah? And he goes, oh, yeah, that's found in such and such and such and such. Well, then I would have to go searching for it. But don't forget to use the address of the scripture. 1 Timothy 4:14 and 15. Make that part of your memory when you're doing this. Because then when you want to say, hey, you know, that scripture that meant so much to me, 1 Timothy 4, when it says meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, then I know to say, hey, that's you know, 1 Timothy 4:15, the very beginning of 15. I can say that to somebody and encourage them and be able to tell them, go to 1 Timothy 4. It's a great chapter. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget the address part of it. Because it's very, very, very important that you get that in there so that when you have it in you, you can give it to somebody else if they need it.
That's good.
Just saying.
Yeah, so you have something to give away than just a quote. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Okay, does anyone else have anything? That was a lot. Yeah, Roger.
Meditating on the word of creation, like the verse, like the Bible said, that it causes a penetration. But when something penetrates, it sticks.
Right.
I mean, it's not easily removed.
Right.
It becomes a part of us. We take on the form of His word,
right,
and it becomes alive in us. And we take it and we spread it around.
Amen. Yep. Meditating creates that penetration into our heart. Yeah.
Amen. So it becomes part of who we are. That's really good because we need to actually have, I mean, that's what takes us from who we are today to who God wants us to be for tomorrow.
Exactly.
So Jesse's come down so I can see that he's getting ready to come.
He's got
and
something.
Preach.
He's going to preach for the next 20 minutes.
No, short verse.
Short verse?
Short verse, yeah, because, you know, that's genius to have that short verse that we all need.
Oh, yeah.
That the short verse that speaks to us,
right,
specifically. I just wanted to share the short verse that's been speaking to me for a while and why it's been very helpful. Acts 17:18.
Mm-hmm.
In Him we live and move and have our being. Another translation, in God, we live and move and exist.
Mm.
And so that verse is so powerful because that means that in every moment, He's there. I'm existing in Him. And there's a whole bunch of other scriptures that we can cross-reference,
right,
with Jesus saying those exact same words,
right?
And so it's super powerful when you're feeling a little bit anxious, a little bit agitated. Sometimes we reach for something of the world, but instead I, you know, like to reach for that short little verse. In Him I live and move and exist. And that way I can see the miracles all around me, mm-hmm, and I can have peace in my heart.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So that's pretty much it. But yeah, that's genius. That one's speaking to me. The one Gayhad was speaking to her. So I think it's important that all of us just pick one. Very, very short. that we can fall back on that's speaking directly to our spirit, directly to our heart. Amen. It's awesome.
That's
yeah.
Great. Anybody else?
Nope. Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together. And Lord, we pray that you would help all of us, Lord, to connect with you in a deep and intimate way, Lord. Let your truth, your reality, Lord, that you want to penetrate our hearts, Lord, come into our lives. I pray for all of us here today and all this listening, Lord, to my voice, Lord, that they would have an activation that would take place with a promise that you have or a truth that you have for them that they need right now that isn't for years ago that they memorized or isn't for their future, but something that they need right now. Like Jesse was saying, something that is a verse that they can connect to in the hard times and in the good times, Lord. But it will be one that truly brings change and transformation to them. We know that your precious promises, Lord, give us the ability to participate with your divine nature,
yes,
with who you are. So I pray, Lord, that that would take place in our life. And we just thank you, Lord, for being our God and allowing us to be your people.
Yes.
And we just love you, Lord, as you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you all. Have an awesome, awesome day. Praise the Lord. We didn't go too late, did we?
Too late.
Love you.